podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Hey, the logo had a Christmas hat on. Do you see that?
Nice, isn't it? Nice touch. Very festive.
Imagine being a City fan and having blue ones because you're scared of Santa.
Pathetic.
Whoa, what's all this popping up down here?
Hey, 12 days of paddock.
Oh, yeah, you can win Old Trafford, remember? See?
Yeah, and a PlayStation 5.
So I heard we're rigging that and I'm getting the P5.
No, Ellis Motorhead's getting that, so get your facts straight. Anyone can win it. Just become a member and you're in the draw.
No, I've just had a text here.
Oh, you're on your phone already. That's good to know.
He says, "Hi, Jerry. It's Agatha. How are you?" In the comments, what do I reply? Let's do this live.
Right, go on. But right, what was the text you've had? Now that looks like one of those Google
Hi, Jerry,
images.
It's Agatha. Is that you? I've added your number. Your reply. Thank God you messaged. How are you?
Fergal McLennan, welcome to the academy. Thanks for your support.
All right, Abdul.
Ed T says, "Port, you all right, babe?"
I got a random message.
Go on. Speaking to the microphone,
looking,
it helps.
They were looking for a.
How long have you been doing this for?
Not enough. Clearly. Right.
Go on.
They were asking for. I think they were looking to rent somewhere or something. I should have just played a joke on them like Steve did. Drag them along.
Who's playing a joke?
So, hang on a minute. What happened? You got a text from someone saying they're looking to rent somewhere.
Yeah. Right. I should have just said, yeah, I got this.
What did you say?
Sorted. No, I just said, no, it's not me.
That's one of the best stories I've had on the brew. I think that's
unbelievable story. Instead, I should have just.
Hey, can we clip that up and put that on socials? Yeah.
That is a banger. It's an absolute banger. That's what the show's about. Just not talk about football. Shit jokes. Yeah, I see.
Our jokes aren't shit.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Because
don't
be coming
up with your whack stories about shit.
Yeah, I got a text and it wasn't for me, so I told them. What story is that?
No, I was just saying it's a similar situation. I should have took Steve's approach.
Yeah, but we didn't need to know about your boring fucking story, Abdul.
All right, Steve, you need to tell us you got a random text.
A parcel arrived at my house the other day. It weren't for me. So told the delivery guy and he walks off.
Absolute shenanigans.
Yeah,
it was
mental. Adam Ward, welcome to the first team even. So you got me getting the words wrong. First time? Yeah. Also, it's all happening. Do Ray, welcome to the academy. Thank you.
Can you explain this academy stuff to me?
The academy, there's the first team and then there's something else. There's the, yeah.
When did we start?
Is it academy, first team, and legends?
Something like that. Membership.
Wow.
You can join members, you get extra content, yeah. Hasten to add that. And you go into the draw to win, amongst other things, a PlayStation 5. You can also win.
And Old Trafford.
You win Old Trafford.
What's the extra content like? Is it like you sleep?
No, it's like Snapchats of Joe's bumhole and stuff.
It's me and Joe usually do a video every week about the fantasy football and how well I'm doing at it.
Are you good at it?
I got 85.
I'm literally bottom of the league out of 291 people. I'm like bottom.
Well, clearly people aren't getting their money's worth though, right?
Why?
Because you're shit at FPL.
But that's not the point. Is I'm not giving him advice. It's a video about me and Joe on FPL. Joe's doing all right, and I'm not very good.
Well,
but I do things that are stupid. Like I kept Cavani in when he was injured,
to give him a
confidence boost.
Let me check this. 85 points.
Because I'm loyal.
Unbelievable.
Loyalty. It matters to me. Yeah. I just because you're injured don't mean you get dropped.
I'm loyal. I keep captaining Salah. He's very loyal.
Salah?
Captain Liverpool players.
He's a scouser.
Exactly.
That's what I mean. That's why I'm going wrong because I'm not having any of that. Matthew Sargent, who's been a member of the academy for 13 months, says, "Went the game with my Arsenal supporting mate last night. He'd been trying to say Ronaldo made us worse. Was meant to watch him smack them. Viva Ronaldo."
Viva Ronaldo. Oh, imagine how many goals is 801? It's a right load of it.
What is it? If my maths is correct, Stephen, and correct me if I'm wrong, please do. If you scored 40 goals a season for 20 years, you'd have less than Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Taking the piss, isn't it?
That's ridiculous.
I don't know, off the top of my head, I don't know how many Rude or Alan Shearer have scored, but I want to say he scored more than both of them combined.
Right, let's have a look. Let's do this.
Because Shearer's got like 350 or something like that, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, at least 312 of them were penalties. So, do they even count? And also...
And they're in the 90s.
And they're in the 90s, yeah. So, football didn't get good till 94.
Whoa.
Oh, 90... Well, he wasn't in that, was he? Hey, let's have it right.
He also had a season where he scored 5 in 38 games.
He wasn't in the Cup Winners' Cup, the elite competition.
What? How many Shearer got?
Right, Shearer's got a total of 379. Pathetic. Ruud van Nistelrooy, absolute legend. He's got a total of...
I
want to
say 312. 349.
Oof. So 379 plus 349, my quick maths has worked out that is less than 801.
They're on about 770-ish between them.
So he's got more
no, 730-ish
than Ruud and Alan Shearer put together. That is ridiculous.
Pretty good him.
He's all right, isn't he, Ronaldo? Imagine starting an argument on about football saying that Ronaldo's not a good signing for United. Like, imagine having that as a point.
I'll call him a problem.
Yeah. He's, he, you know,
if he's a problem, I don't want the solution.
That. Yeah.
Fucking hell. Tony Marshall in, shall we?
It's just something for them to speak
Stephen,
about
I've heard
week,
that argument on the internet.
It's just something for them to speak about every week, innit, yeah. On Sky. Yeah, Ronaldo is a problem. He'll score. He'll just go and score again.
Do you remember when Sky used to do analysis?
I know. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Get Andy Gray back. Whatever happened to him?
What did happen to Andy Gray? Very progressive views, Andy Gray. Always likes his views on things. Aditya Gautam says, Steve. So obviously he doesn't want to talk to me and Abdullah. United allegiance aside, Bielsa or Ragnick? Ragnick's club building is much better than Bielsa because he just Fs off. Ooh, controversial.
Yeah, it does. But listen, I do have... Listen, we all occasionally disappoint our parents. And I disappointed my parents, my dad especially, because my mum didn't really give a fuck, by liking Bielsa.
I'm glad I'm with your dad on this. I love that. Like, you like a Leeds manager. I think you're of the generation, Steve, where you get it as well. Like... There's a younger generation that don't quite understand.
Oh, yeah.
The
I mean, you
thing.
Heard my thoughts on the possibility of Rodgers coming in, and I'm just, I'm not having it.
Yeah.
But, like, Leeds are so bad at the moment.
Yeah, but Leeds is one of the worst ones.
It is one of the worst ones, but not because of him.
They take the shoes off.
It's because
of take your shoes off if you're Man U. What is that?
But he still doesn't speak English, which means that he ain't got a Yorkshire accent, which means it's all good.
I can like someone who comes from Leeds United, let's not forget that.
Well, yeah.
Alan Smith. I can't think of any others.
Did Dennis Irwin play for Leeds?
He did. He went via Oldham, but he did. I don't think there's been anyone else who's gone from Leeds to United.
Is that French?
Can't think of anyone. What? What? You can't just make things up.
Yeah, there was one French guy.
We haven't had one good player.
We haven't. Alan Smith's the only one we've had from Leeds.
Centre half, who's pretty rubbish.
Centre half? No, I don't think so.
Who, Henning Berg? He was Blackburn.
Henning Berg, what are you on about, you? Hey, David De Gea, he played in goal. What are you talking about? Get a grip of your life.
Atletico Madrid.
Oh my God. Abdullah.
Do you know anything?
Having an absolute stinker. What I love here is the amount of people that are saying Cantona and Rio in the chat. We forgot.
You can't make jokes on the internet. You know this, don't you? You should know this, but.
How can we forget?
So how can we forget?
Get this one.
How can we forget, Jay?
Someone's comparing me to Paul Mercer. Hey. Oh my days.
What's wrong with that?
Why can't we need like a sarcastic face.
Yeah. Can we have a hashtag just kidding? Can we have that as a graphic? No. Producer Cam said no, and he's probably right. Talking of managers and that, Ralph Ragnick's taken over officially today.
I see that it says Ragnick's new home. Has he bought an house?
He
strikes me as an apartment fella.
Whatever you said?
I said Deansgate. That was my last conclusion.
No.
Oh.
And one of them new West Tower thingies, whatever. They look pretty sick.
I want to say...
Mahrez lives in one of them.
I want to say Wiest, because I always talk about Wiest.
Gotta be honest, he ain't living in Wiest.
But I think Ben Chill might be better option.
He ain't living in Ben Chill.
Imagine if your state agent went...
The traffic alone.
Yeah. State agent went, oh... our new addition to the Paddock family, Anthony, said long sight.
Shut the fuck up, Anthony.
Anthony. Ridiculous suggestion. Hey, council tax man, there's scandalous.
We need to get some of the Anthony jokes off the royal family.
Yeah. Oh, Conway says Eccles, of course. Yes, I'll show him around Eccles. Got some great local amenities.
I don't know his marriage situation. I don't know whether he's got kids and all that lot. I mean, he's 63. He was absolutely dripping in bitches at the game yesterday. You see that? Like Snoop Dogg.
Who are you?
Ceremony.
P Diddy. Hey. He's a good looking lad though, isn't he?
Ralph?
Yeah.
For 63?
He's a very suave individual. I like his voice as well. It's silky smooth, isn't it?
Kinnell.
Hey.
So,
what do you mean, Kinnell? What's wrong with that?
Because he's a continental type.
Hey. Married,
Jay. Listen, you can appreciate a look. You can appreciate a man's.
Well. That wasn't his wife.
He looks like the kind of cat. He looks like a kind of cat. That's an apartment kind of cat, I think.
Right.
I'm catching what I'm throwing. Now, I reckon he's going to throw a right curveball. Do you know where Pep lives?
Yeah, City. Is it City Stops?
No, City Suites.
Yeah.
Right? I don't like the name of that one.
It's not Manchester City Suites. It's the City Centre Suite. Yeah, but do you know where it is?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Where?
It's back of Arndale, isn't it?
Yeah, but where though? We're being specific here, so where?
It's just in front of a Premier Inn.
Do you know or not?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, I know. I've seen Bernardo Silva drive out in front of that. Oh.
Right.
Oh, there's
what I was looking for is, because this is where it throws people.
Because I don't know.
It's at one end of Deansgate.
It's what?
It's at one end of Deansgate. However, it's Salford.
Yeah, it's not.
It's right over at Chirk River.
It's not really Deansgate. That makes sense.
it's near the cathedral, basically. I could see him going living near me.
Do you think he'd get like a spy thing going on, like in Pep's room? Like,
what, Ralph Rangnick?
Yeah.
You reckon? Yeah. What's he spying on though? Like Bielsa did that, then he's spying at the training.
Nah, but it won't be like football things. He'll be like exposing him for affairs or something.
What? You cracked.
Oh, it'll be like.
Do I reckon that Ralph Rangnick is going to set up a secret camera in Pep's apartment to expose him for having an affair?
I'm going to be honest with
you. No.
I'd rather he spent his time trying to teach you how to play football. Yeah. I'm call me old fashioned.
It's not fun though.
We can have loads of fun doing that.
Right. You slip a camera under and you just see like Bernardo Silva doping. Like Pep just...
Well, you know, if you saw a camera like that and you saw Bernardo Silva doping or anyone doping from the City team, then all that happened is nothing. Nothing would happen. We'd get done for putting a camera there.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
True. You tell a journalist, and a journalist go, cool, I'll go tell Pep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Should we play a game?
Yeah, I like that.
I'm not taking my pants off.
So boring. It's
that's
Friday.
For the private
come on.
Members.
You haven't even got any on. No, I think, right, you two, you know, you know your stuff, sort of, don't you? People tend to think you do, so that's as good as knowing it. Works for us, works for this channel. So you know about Ralph Rangnick, and you know how he likes to play football. What type of player will fit into his system? What type of player has the mentality to adapt to his system? So I'm going to ask you some players about that play for Manchester United, and whether you think they will or will not thrive under Ralph boy.
Are we playing a game though? Or what? You said we was going to play a game.
Well, this is the kind of game. This is the game.
Fucking games are shit.
I'm sorry.
So nerdy.
All right, this is not the winner gets a prize.
Not. It's not why I'm here.
All right. Well, just roll with it. Right, David De Gea.
Not the way he plays with his feet. Although, Rangnick's a weird one because he says, don't like my goalkeepers to play with my feet. They should have the least touch on the pitch, which is one thing.
Yeah.
I think that was out of context of it because he likes his keeper to aggressively come out and sweep as well.
Correct. Yeah. So there's a bit of a conundrum there. Unless he means, even if they're sweeping, they're still not in possession, are they, really? They're still not knocking it around and getting 40 passes or whatever. So I think the way De Gea plays currently doesn't necessarily suit him. That's not to say that I don't think he could be trained or adapt.
Yeah.
But the way De Gea's last 2 years have been, you'd have to say no.
Okay, good. So this kind of answer, so I take it you're saying Dean Henderson?
Well, not necessarily.
Well, no, that's fair enough. So you might, Tom Eaton or a third or fourth option even?
I mean, I like Tom.
He's your mate, isn't he?
Allegedly.
Allegedly, you quite close.
Not been out for chicken dippers in a bit.
All right.
So I don't think he fits either, to be honest.
Victor Lindelof.
I mean, does he fit anyone's system?
Well, you've answered that question then. No, you don't really think he fits.
Do you know what I'm worried about this weekend? I'm worried about
Football.
Techie wearing him like a fucking raincoat.
It's on fire, Ben Techie. 4 goals this season.
No, you got to think, like, what is the worst thing that could happen to Victor Lindelof? It's literally Ben
Techie. An ex-Scouser scoring lots of goals against
him. It's literally playing against Ben Techie is everything that is the kryptonite to Lindelof, isn't it?
Perhaps. Okay,
I think
then.
He'll do all right.
You think Lindelof will do all right?
Yeah. Based on what?
He's got a good pass.
The thing is, he's not had an awful season.
Do you know how you said, right? I would laugh at that, but the benchmark is that low at the minute.
No, it's not a good season. Do you know what? Do you know what I think? He's actually had a good season. Kill me in the comments if you want. I don't care. Lindelof,
I love the fact that there. It looks like Steve's laughing over your shoulder.
He's had two.
Go back to that shot of Elkin
at. He's had two.
It looks like you're
assists.
Saying something. Steve's just laughing at you. All right. As Ralph watches on, showing
he's
you
his
shirt.
He's had two decent assists, and he's a good ball player.
That's what you want in a centre half. Not
yeah, you need that in the
defending
team,
ability
mate.
When you're playing against someone. That's
defended well against Villarreal.
He's
arguably our best player.
I think I'm with. Abdullah, kind of, in the sense that I don't think Victor Lindelof's been the issue this season. He's not been great, but there's been three worse defenders than him this season. There
okay,
has.
I agree.
You got a point. Yeah. However, his kryptonite is playing against him on Sunday afternoon.
Okay, all right, I'll give you that one. Eric Bailly, the fans' favourite.
Yeah, he's everyone's favourite, and I would think Rangnick could love him, but when he goes, oh, I only play once a month.
Yeah.
It'd be like, right, you're in a team again, you were sensational on Tuesday night, you're playing again, it'd be like, yeah. I don't know if you read my contract, mate. That's not what I do.
I'm not playing again till May.
Got a quota, mate.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to ask
give
that one.
12 times a season. Who?
No, because it's just... He's
Philip, what's wrong with Philip?
He's not going to ask Phil Jones.
Him. Right, I'm not doing that because it's just, it's boring now, isn't it? Harry Maguire. Just let's not forget, just before we go, 80 million
Harry.
Quid defender, captain, Ralph Rangnick owes him nothing.
Willie
the
Orban.
Point of having a new manager is he can come in and do what Tuchel did at Chelsea and go, I don't care if the last manager bought you, I'm not playing you, and I don't have to.
I think he'll do well because he's got similarities, I think, to Willie Orban's game. And as much as like he turned like a truck and he was slow, he played pretty much every game for Rangnick and he captained the team. So, and I think Maguire, actually, when we play further up the pitch, like at times yesterday when like he was playing a part in that goal, that's when he actually looks better. Like that's when he offers more for the team. I know the whole thing of the defensive aspect as well. I think when he's aggressive in those situations, he's sound and he wins his duels. But sometimes we just seem to trap him a lot because of the way we were structured and the way we played this season. He's always like cornered into that left side. So maybe, organisation.
Hmm? I mean where he plays.
Yeah, because because there's no one ever offering for the ball.
We've actually had
no
his pants off here because he's being in the position he's meant to be.
What do you reckon then? Do you agree with Abdullah or do you reckon no?
I think he'll do good.
I wouldn't say he would do good. I don't necessarily know if he's going to like him or dislike him. I think he'll play for him. I don't think there's no question he's going to play for him.
I think there is a question. I'll be honest with you.
Well, I'd be shocked if he...
No,
if
I've been disappointed.
I think if he has a game like he had against the Scousers for Rangnick might go, no. And maybe. If Varane's fit again as well, he might go, maybe. I'm going to go with Varane and Bailly or Varane and Lindelof.
But if you're talking about what's the
I'm not saying I expect it, I'm just saying it's possible.
Like, oh, right, okay, that's a fair comment. Then I think, I don't necessarily think Maguire's... you've got to remember, the narrative on Maguire has flipped in 6 months, completely 180.
No, yeah.
Do you know why we lost the Europa League final the day after? Was because Maguire wasn't fit.
Yeah.
That was literally the narrative, right?
Yeah, it was.
I'm not necessarily. The Euros.
Let me get this out before you all fucking comment. I'm not saying that's what I believe.
No.
But that's what the narrative was the day after the final, like it or not. That was the narrative, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. The narrative yesterday was, we're going to lose because Maguire's in the team. Or we might win against Chelsea because Maguire's not in the team. Those were comments that I saw. I don't necessarily believe them, but it just shows you how perception and narrative can be everything. Now I think he's been shite this year.
Yeah, I don't think
there's any two ways around it. I think unobjectively shit. However,
he looks on the fence.
Who was he playing against the other day? I saw a clip from somewhere. Might have been the Leicester game. I feel Leicester was dreadful.
He had one leg and he'd only trained like 24 hours.
The Leicester game,
I'll
give him a bit of a pass.
I don't know why he even played
in
that
team. It just seemed to be as like he didn't even know what to do.
Do you know what the worst thing is as well? Is you're right, Maguire's been awful this season, but he's also got the only player who's probably been just as bad as him in defence next to him, which doesn't help. You've just got like an absolute shambles down our left-hand side or our left-hand side. It's awful.
They're always just
unable
to play.
It's so bad. Here's an easy one for you then. Rafael Varane.
I think he could love him. Yeah. He could be the linchpin. Like, because you want to play a high line, you're going to need a speedy defender.
Class, Varane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just miss him so much. Ironic.
Do you think that the whole high line thing, people highlight that a bit too much with Maguire? Because like, I have seen that Leipzig team like have, like I said, Willie Orban there, and it's not much of a problem that they face. Like, it's not really pace that stretches him out.
You put him with someone who's got a
bit of
wheels.
It's not always, I'm saying, is like, they always seem to win their duels.
Not a problem.
Yeah, or Konate.
Because all you do is you have a stopper and a cover. The slower one, there's your stopper. He's the one that sticks his head in. He's the one that dives in. And the other one does the... If I said to you, the Van Dijk move, which is run away as they're running towards you, I take the piss out of it, but it's technically the right thing to do because you've not been beat. You're still in the way. And right. even though you're running away, you're slowing them down as they're running towards you, which allows the other defenders to sort of recover and get back in time. If, let's say Maguire dives in, misses, and then Varane dives in, misses, well, you're just fucking staring the keeper down now, aren't you? So the most important thing, which is why what Van Dijk does, which we take the piss out of, like, oh, he's not been dribbled past, because he fucking runs the opposite way. But he also doesn't dive in. And that's the important part of what we're saying here. Varane can easily take that mantle of the not being dribble past guy if you have a stopper alongside him.
Diogo Dalot.
Had a good game last night.
Did.
Impressed me last night.
Shocked me, actually, as
yeah,
well.
So I was surprised because Villarreal was awful.
I thought the door was closed on him, to be honest.
I thought he had like a good patch when he was at Milan where I was actually impressed by him, but...
Yeah, but fucking just, Ashley Young went and looked fucking world-class as well, so let's relax on that.
Nah, but it's, I just feel like... Again, we're talking about a player. I mentioned it on the fan cams yesterday, I think. Like, there was a period where he played against Tranmere where he scored that goal.
Yeah.
And then we didn't see him until like a League Cup game 6 months down the line before he went out on loan for 20 minutes against Brighton. Where, like, and even the season before where Ashley Young was having stinkers at right back. Like, I'd just take a gamble on a player that has shown something. Like, there was a period, it was after that sort of March period. And we just didn't play him, man. And sometimes players need minutes, especially at that age. Hopefully it's something that we're seeing after last night that he stays in the side, because that was good football from him, I think.
Do you think he's got a chance then, usurping Aaron Wan-Bissaka?
I'm starting the low now, that's it for this period. I'm not feeling
Steven Housen.
I mean, I did my preview, recorded my preview to go out tomorrow. I've got Dalot and Telles in again, because I thought the pair of them had a good account of themselves. And I think I've also got him with a diamond in midfield, because I think he might go with a diamond in midfield, hence why I went with a diamond in midfield.
Makes sense.
And having those two as offensive outlets, I think he's a good option to provide a little bit of width if you're going to have a narrow attack.
I was just getting some of the super chats in the comments. I know loads of people comment. I will get to you. Stray Mistra says, I don't understand why Ten Hag is not preferred more over Poch for United job. Would love to know your views on this. Stephen?
I don't know why some people like what they like, and I don't know why anyone likes Poch.
There you go. Tanish Sonny, welcome to the Academy. Thanks for your support. Alex Pavlov, welcome to the Academy. Again, thanks for your support. Abhinav Kanagat says, in total, how long would the team take to adapt? Will 6 months be long enough to drill the pressing style in, and would the system help McTominay and Lingard? Leave the McTominay and Lingard point, because we'll get to that in a minute, but how long do you think it's going to take to implement?
He sort of mentioned this in his interview that he did with United today, that he's going to be doing a lot of video work. Not all learning has to be done walking through stuff on the pitch.
Yeah,
you do a lot of learning by being shown good and bad examples, scenarios, and talking through them. Because if you can understand what you need to do, you don't need to have run it seven times to know what you need to do. If you understand the theory behind why you're being asked to do something, I think that the makeup of what you're trying to achieve can be done. And I think there's so many tools and options available to people at the moment, and he'll have so much of his own footage of best examples of what he wants, I would hope, from what he's done at Leipzig and elsewhere. Then I think that he could really get a bit of a head start in that, because you got to think, today they'd have been in there, they'd done recovery. I hope he probably gives some sort of presentation to them to sort of introduce himself to the players. I hope that happened.
Yeah.
No guarantees it did, though. And then tomorrow they'll probably be out on the grass for the first time with him. Now, he's probably thinking two minds here. I'm sure he's done a little bit of research on Palace, I'm sure, just to have any idea about who the fuck he's facing. I'm sure he's spent all week while he's been waiting for his work permit to go through doing that and trying to outside observe what's going on at United. But I can see the urge from a new coach coming in thinking, I just kind of want a bit of an energetic, fun session for my first session.
Yeah.
Because that's where sometimes that new manager bounce can come in, because you've just put a different mood into the camp.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think the camp's necessarily in a bad mood, because we've had an interim that's just gone undefeated.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily need to know that he needs to come in and 180 the mood today when he's in training. And
this isn't Ollie after Jose, is it?
No. Oh, God, no.
That was like... everyone's especially this character giving up on life, and he's just coming in like your mate.
Yeah, he's come in and not set fire to training ground this morning.
Yeah, not played the striker in defence and then screamed at him when he's made a mistake. I'll just get into a few more comments and we'll get back to the game. Steno, who's been a member of the academy for 13 months. So description. Get a monthly behind the scenes vlog for being a member. We're going to start doing more of them actually. Yeah, that's a good shout. Have we connected Ralph to the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup yet? Stephen?
Give me 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Jesus, perhaps. Cesar Romano, hi from Nashville, Tennessee, from a Salvadorian. Excited about new beginning, but gutted. I want Ollie to succeed. We all did, mate. Such is the way this football thing works. Abhinav Verma says, do you think Fred performed well in the second half because they found his actual passport? Oh, it's a bit mean, isn't it? I mean, he did do better in the second half, to be fair. Philip Lopez has been a member of the academy for 30 months. Any news on Varane? When can we expect him to be back? Abdullah, when is Varane back? You speak to him regularly, do you? Don't
yeah,
you?
Absolutely, mate. He's always in my DMs.
Right. Does he give you any heads up as to when he'll be fit for playing football again?
I can't disclose that information, right, unfortunately.
Stephen, did you have him in your predicted 11?
Who?
Rafael Varane.
No, I don't think he's going to play.
It's mid-December, to be fair.
Jack Lynch, welcome to the first team, and Shrey Mishra as well. Welcome to the academy. Thank you. I'm just having a look at some of the comments as well. 20 Legend says, Dalot versus Zaha is a nightmare. Has he got a point there? I think he has.
Okay, it's a good point, but also in that game against Villarreal, which was a point I made after that game, was the reason Dalot got rinsed that much was because we weren't doubling up. Every time Greenwood was expecting Bruno to be the one that was tracking the winger with Dalot. Whereas yesterday, Rashford was actually getting across and doubling up with Dalot. I know they didn't have like a serious winger there, but we've seen Tavares rip it up like a couple of weeks ago. Like he was actually taking players on and stuff. There was a better sort of defensive aspect from us, like as a unit yesterday. I think it helped a little bit. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think if we double up again like we did, we should be fine on the week.
Adam Kenny says, Laird, back to United, up the effing paddock. Ethan Laird, obviously, out alone at Swansea.
Bring him back.
Yeah. Would you?
Yeah, I think he's quality.
I like Ethan Laird. Right, let's move on to another player. People, right? Me and you, Steve, did a video, I think, with Dave Pritt a couple of years ago. People were bringing out this clip where we were saying the jury was out on him. Like, look how wrong you got. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Look how wrong you got this and all that, because we questioned like him at the time, which was a reasonable question because we just brought in Alex Telles to give him a kick up the backside. We did that a few months later after this video. But obviously, the player's Luke Shaw. Now, 6 months ago, the idea that Luke Shaw wouldn't play for anyone would have been ludicrous. But this season, he's been awful.
Glad you said it.
Well, he has. I mean, I call it as I see it.
I've got a fucking agenda, Jay. Well,
this is what I mean. Like, when we said, this was probably about 18 months ago, actually, when we said this. He had a very good season last season. He had a very good Euros. But then Maguire had both of those things, and he's been poor this season. And I think Luke Shaw, if you look at some of the performances, and I look at the Liverpool one in particular, that was, and I don't take any pleasure in saying this, but it was as bad as a performance I've ever seen from him. It really was.
Yeah, he was a stinker. I'm not even gonna lie. And that's coming from someone who I do like Luke Shaw.
There's nothing wrong with liking a player and then criticising poor performances.
But this season, he's really, really been off it. And you've had to bring in these fullbacks, I think, for Wan-Bissaka and Shaw, you know, with Telles and Dalot, because you've got to have that competitiveness in the side, and continuing to play players who are making those mistakes and not freshening things up is absolute madness. And
cost Ollie's job, didn't it?
Things like that did sort of prolong.
You look at the Watford game, and he stuck with most of those players, and he let him down again.
Well, wouldn't we say from Leicester through Liverpool, it was 9 of the same starting 11 or something?
Yeah,
like
and they were just dreadful most of them, week in, week out, and just cost him his job. And I know, you know, there's not, it's not like, I'm not saying it's deliberate or anything, but it just happened.
People seem to pull up like, oh, you said Brandon Williams was going to bench him. He did.
Brandon Williams at 18 got a load of appearances because he was in the side ahead of Luke Shaw.
Yeah.
That's how he got into the team. Yeah. It's not like a, you know.
The one thing he was always going to get, which you weren't getting at the time.
John Shin in the chat as well. Big up, John Shin.
Is grit. No, there was always a ceiling. The ceiling has always been infinitely higher on Ethan Laird than it has on Brandon Williams.
Okay.
But Brandon's got an attitude, a temperament, and a grittiness that allowed him to be an asset to the team at a time when you was simply not getting that. I mean, the ceiling on Luke Shaw's infinitely higher than it's ever been on Brandon Williams. But if you ain't playing, or you're playing terribly like you were at the time. And I thought people's people over-egged how good Luke Shaw had been for a good 3 or 4 months at start. And I thought after Christmas, I thought he really did pick up. And I thought he ended the season spectacularly well. But you're right. I don't think he's come back from the Euros. Very much in the same way that Jesse Lingard never came back from the World Cup.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't think he has at all. And I think, you know, it's not an agenda to praise someone when they play well and to criticise them when they play badly. And that's pretty much been what we've done with Luke Shaw. He was getting a bit of stick when he was playing badly. Alex Tellez came in for a reason. Brandon Williams came in for a reason. Just a quick one on Brandon Williams as well. Chucky, who coached him as a youngster, when Brandon Williams was a youngster, says he was one of the sort of, in terms of attitude and that, he was one of the best. He was, you know, he said he went away to an international tournament and he was chatting to everyone, he got on with everyone. Said he's just, had something about him, do you know what I mean? And a lot of the time, that's what you need, don't you, as a youngster, to break through. It's not just your ability, it's the fact of your temperament and your attitude, and I mean that in a positive way. Right, so that's Luke Shaw. I'm going to go to Alex Tellez. He's played last night, did okay, didn't he?
It feels like with Tellez, the only way is up in a way, because there is a player in there in terms of what we've seen at the European level when Porto played in the Champions League. He had some sort of impact when you go and watch any of those games back before he joined, just like seeing the important moments he had.
Are we honestly going for every single player?
No.
But I think it just depends how drastic it will be. But I think that he will go up a little bit of a level.
Yeah. I'm going to go over on to, you've already answered the fullbacks one, so I'm with that. Paul Pogba.
Just no.
Oh, Joe, I'm fucking sick of the Paul Pogba question, Jay. Right. I honestly am. I'm just sick of hearing about him. Do you want to stay? Sign a paper. Do you not want to stay? Don't sign a paper and fuck off.
Let's go to some players that have been earmarked as potentially shining under this new Ragnick system. And I'm not saying you two have done that. I'm just saying what I've seen on the internet. Fred has been one of them. People saying Fred will play well under Ragnick. Fred will be one of his main men.
Fred, in the last few games under Carrick, has looked miles better played as an 8 rather than a 6. Yeah.
I would agree with everything you've just said.
However, Jay.
Go on.
I also think that having Fred as a starter week in, week out, it's still going to cost you games. Because
Is the risk worth the reward then?
Potentially, yeah. Because I think you need someone to be turning the ball over in that final third. And if we're looking at even moments yesterday where we didn't score off it, you're looking at the Villarreal game, you're looking at the Chelsea game. Yeah, like he messed up that pass against Chelsea. But winning the ball in those areas, especially when you got lethal players like a Sancho, Ronaldo, Rashford, Greenwood, quickly getting in on goal is very crucial to what Ragnick wants to do. So I think he could go up a level and continue his form. But I'd rather him do that work in the final third, because whenever he's in our area, it's just...
Yeah, he's carnage.
It's a mare.
I think he's probably going to look better than he has done recently for United.
Okay, that's all right, though.
Yeah, but I'd still fuck him off, Jay.
What, now? Or?
Well, you're not going to, are you? Let's be real. He's going to be here till the end of the season, no matter what, and probably a lot longer than that, because United don't turn over players. You know, we don't, not like City, we will sign a goalkeeper and then launch a goalkeeper and buy a new goalkeeper.
Yeah, no, we don't do that.
We're not going to do that. So, or even centre-halves. More fucking centre-halves. I was going to say the nonsense, but obviously that's not true. So, with what Fred's got... What? Do you know how many nonsense he's got?
Yeah, let's yes, okay.
Right.
Let's move on.
And do you know how many European Cups he've got?
I know that the answer to that one is zero.
Thank you. Right. Yeah. How many nonsense we've got? It's not zero, is
right,
it?
Right, okay.
Right? So let's say, when you look at what Fred offers,
he's
got a mistake in him every game.
Yeah.
And if you're going into, let's pray, a Champions League final, and Fred's in there, and it's tight, and it's 0-0. I don't agree with a lot of what Jose Mourinho said about the way he likes football to be played, but the game gets won by the team with the fewest mistakes, I think is a true story.
Really?
And I think you having Fred in your team, you're starting on a mistake. There's going to be a mistake in the game.
But then potentially you're also gaining 2 or 3 good chances in a game, which we have seen the last few games.
Okay. I don't want a mistake, though.
So this is the point I make the question, and you're so Abdullah, you're on one side of the argument saying it's worth the risk of those mistakes.
It's not Bruno, is it? Like, he's going to create your chances and lose loads of ball. Fred's going to literally pass it.
I hate to be that guy as well.
We're so limited in that area of the pitch for what Ragnick wants to do.
Yeah, my thing with Fred is I've never been his biggest fan, but one thing that has impressed me this season about him, and okay, it's not the most important thing, but it matters. Is at least he's been up for it and has like shown a bit of grit, shown a bit of ball.
Oh, Jay, I'd be up for it. I'm shit.
No, you say that though, Steve. The Scousers, right? Kane told Trafford, Ronnie kicks Curtis Jones. Everyone surrounds him. And there's only Fred and Bruno wanted to get involved. No one else wanted to know. We've got all these players who are so-called, you know, internationals and hard men and leaders and all this nonsense. And they're all backing away from the Scousers at Old Trafford. It was pathetic.
I agree.
You know what I mean? I'm not saying that's the be-all and end-all, but I want at least two players in my team, right, Jay, who will have it, and he'll have it.
Any of us on the pitch against Liverpool,
yeah,
you're going to have to stop me hitting one of them.
Exactly. And that's you. But I expect that from players that are playing for Manchester United, and many of them have been playing for Manchester United for years, and they're getting paid a lot of money to play for Manchester United. When you're playing against Liverpool in front of your home fans, and it kicks off against Ronaldo, and you run away.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you on that.
That's why I think we might need, and it pains me because, you know, it shouldn't be even a factor, but you might need someone like Fred because you've got basically a team full of people who just aren't up for it. You need at least one.
Where's my captain in all of this?
Nowhere, miles away, 80 yards away.
Thank you.
Van Dijk's pushing Ronaldo around, and Andy Maguire's looking at the floor.
Doesn't mean Fred gets
that's
a start.
That all right, that's fair enough. Massively addressing, man. That yeah.
The fact that you've got shithouses filling shirts doesn't mean Fred.
No, I'm not saying it's the building. I'm just saying for me, it is a factor at the minute.
Then in a way, Jay, like, there you go. Yeah. I don't
put Brandon Williams in the team. What happens,
mate? I'd have loved Brandon Williams to start that
Williams
game.
Williams just gets out on parole can't today. If yeah, he's
he does,
team.
And you need a bit of that. And I wish to God Brandon Williams had been in that team because we could have done with him because he'd have been well up for it.
Done with him. Trying to cross the ball with his right foot, chopping in from the left.
Yeah. Listen, what did we see that game from our fullbacks? Nothing. Five goals conceded, nothing gained whatsoever. Yeah, at least show me something. The only one who was up for that game, well, two people actually up for it were Greenwood and Fred. And Greenwood is what, 20? It was a shambles. I don't know what to relive it. But Bill O'Reilly, welcome to the academy. I'm not going to go through the entire team, but another one that's been mentioned as someone who could shine as well, Jesse.
If he's here come February the 1st.
Yeah. Well, that's another fact, because he's got a World Cup he wants to play a part in.
If I'm him, I don't want anything to do with it.
Who?
Jesse.
Yeah, but he loves playing for England. He's going to want to play in that World Cup.
No, then I'm talking about the United thing now.
Like, why?
Because West Ham fans like him. He's done well at West Ham. He's respected there. And he's not guaranteed to play here. And he's got a chance of getting in that England team if he's going to go to West Ham and play consistently. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think the thing is, especially with Paul Pogba out in like for another 6 weeks or whatever, because wherever, how much longer he's going to be in
forever,
basically, yeah.
For the rest of his United career.
Until he turns up in the knockouts of the Champions League to get involved. There's going to be space in this team for the likes of Donny and Jesse Lingard. It's just about taking that opportunity, especially if we're playing like, if we see him play sort of that narrow 4-4-2 or, you know, with the wide playmakers and stuff like that and needing that explosiveness and the high press and that high energy and intense game, Jesse Lingard could be involved. But I personally, if I'm in his situation, that wouldn't change what I'm trying to do. Because the club's messed me about too much.
Fair enough. DJ Yates, welcome to the academy. I will just mention one. I think I'm going to do two more players. Donny. Everyone seems to love Donny van der Beek. So it seems to think that he's going to shine under Rangnick.
No idea.
Yeah, I think that's a fair idea.
I don't
fair
have comments, an idea. Right? It just depends if he can hack that game. We've seen him, like, actually, if you look at that Leipzig team, he used to do mad stuff like having Sabitzer playing as a holding midfielder, and Sabitzer is naturally like an attacking midfielder.
Okay.
So he could just say, all right, Donny, if you can hack the intensity, and it's something that he works on, that he just plays him in that midfield too. So, yeah, I've not really got an idea if it's going to work or not.
One final one. I've got some chats I'm going to get into in a minute, so don't worry if you've done a super chat, we'll get to you. Jadon Sancho. Now, he's spoken about him today, so obviously, you know.
I didn't see the quote, what's he said?
That's a good question. Have we got the quote anywhere?
I didn't see that, Jay. You're making things up again.
He does that.
Did he not speak about Jadon Sancho today? That was my information.
I'm joking.
There you go. Ralph Rangnick said, I mean, they have so many top talented youngsters. Jadon Sancho, I know from the Bundesliga. As a matter of fact, I met him when he was 17 in London at the time. We were trying to convince him to come to Leipzig. So he's a fan, Ralph Rangnick. He's a fan of Jadon Sancho.
Spoke about him last year as well.
Sorry, that Matt, yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah. Spoke about Luke Shaw as well last year, didn't he?
That wasn't much of an endorsement. Let's not kid ourselves.
To be fair, it was before Teles come and decided to be Shabbat or Carlos.
So
they've got to have a funny meeting today, aren't they, in training? All right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awkward. What do you reckon then? Is he going to shine under Rangnick or what?
He seems to when he gets a challenge. Yeah. I think when it's like your first choice and there's probably no one to threaten you, I think he gets banging at the buffets and that. But I think when he's like, someone's going to take your place, I think he rallies a little bit.
He always takes time to get into the season, innit? It feels like the summer is just vibing.
Sam Zed says, Rangnick looks like a Prussian drill master, probably going to turn Carrington into a boot camp. You know the Germans are kinky about discipline.
I don't know if you can say that.
What?
I don't know. I don't feel right saying that.
What?
Any of that, to be honest.
Right, like, okay.
The whole of that sun.
Yeah, no, fair enough. It seems a bit, you know, what's the word? Stereotypical, is it? Or just, you know, making...
I don't know.
Yeah, stereotypes. Alex Buckingham says, felt like Rangnick might want to stay on after this season as manager. From the way he dealt with that question, yeah, he did say he could advise him to keep himself on like a little Leipzig. Hey.
One of those, in it. Well, they want to pay me as an advisor. I'm going to fucking advise that they hire me.
Yeah, that's what he kind of said to him.
I've got a right good idea. Why don't we hire me?
He was pretty funny, actually, wasn't he, today? He's like cracking jokes and that. So he looks like he's not sort of overawed by the job, is he? Certainly doesn't seem like he's a rabbit in headlights like some managers do when they arrive.
Just call it David Moyes.
Yeah, David Moyes did look like Alvaro.
David Moyes' first press conference was like,
I know. That was one of the worst press conferences ever. He name-checked Bill Shankly. He avoided the Rooney question that everyone was asking him. He more or less said, I don't even know what I'm doing here. And then he spoke about how Fergie came out of his house to give him the job and his main concern was he was wearing a T-shirt. And
the thing is, he never actually accepted the job. Fergie just was like, you're the new United manager. And it wasn't like, amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, can't wait to start work. He was like,
my T-shirt's dirty. I'm sorry. Sorry, sir. Sorry, Alex. Ahmed Abdel Basit says, do you think Rangnick will fancy Lingard? Hardworking, has potential to pressing and not prone to mistakes. Stephen, hope you are feeling better. I enjoy your content and all Paddock content. We've sort of covered the Lingard thing as well. 20 Legend says, go get Alphonso Davies. Stephen, have you linked Rangnick to the Cup Winners' Cup yet?
No, I'm going to need a weekend for it. He did win the Intertoto Cup, though, at Stuttgart, I believe. He's got me something in that. I just can't think of it off the top of my head. I believe he actually was coaching in 1991. I want to say he won something in 1991 himself, which is an easy link to make. But I need. I owe you better. So I will do better.
You're going to do better. There you go. He's going to do better, so don't worry about it. Andrew Naker says, you know things are positive when the brute actually speaks about football. Love the content, lads. GGMU.
Last 10 minutes, let's just fucking take it into the woods.
Ayub Ali says, hope Ahmad gets an opportunity against the boys. Hisham El Said, if I've missed your super chat, just do it again as a comment and I'll read it. I didn't see it. I can't seem to find it on my list. Michael Carrick's left, Stephen.
Yeah, a bit of a shock with that as well. Don't think anyone expected that.
Did you not have any heads up?
No, we was all in a group chat rinsing Joel at the time it dropped, and then everyone was shocked, should we say.
Really? I mean, you can't go out much more classy the way he did it. Got us a result, an important result. Arsenal could have gone 8 points ahead of us last night. Gets your result. Great game. And at the end of it, you know, he's moving on. The manager already knows. He spoke to him. We heard that from Ralph Rangnick. Said he wanted to convince him to stay in. And I think that Carrick, regardless of what you think about the Oliveira or anything like that, Carrick is a player, he's a class act, and he's done that as a manager and as a coach. I just like the way he went about it.
Yeah, it's a good way to end things. Yeah. Sort of. Maybe like he takes a break and then gets himself into management or just switches it up a bit in his career.
Yeah. I mean, you fancy him to do well as a manager or can you not tell?
Can't really tell because... In terms of what we've seen, we see a lot of like Darren Fletcher alongside him and stuff. Mm. How much are others getting involved? Is it just him? So yeah, it just depends, isn't it?
Hisham El Said says, seen enough from Shaw, Fred and McTominay to move them on, I think. Not all at once. Got to phase them out though. Sending good vibes to Steve as well. Big up to be so open on your mental health. Had a few comments about that, Steve. Sunil BM says, shout out to Steve speaking up candidly about depression, class act, always important to speak about, well done, mate, speaking up about it.
I might do a documentary on it.
Really?
Because there's a few things that I'm doing at the moment, which I think would be, one's going to be well interesting. So I've been accepted, I was recommended for it by the therapist that I've got. And I've been accepted onto a psilocybin mushroom trial, which is just a veterans thing, really, that they're doing at the moment. They're putting veterans through it. It sounds fucking bonkers, Jay.
I don't want to comment because I don't know anything about it, but I don't want to ask silly questions, but it...
Magic mushrooms, right, essentially. Okay. But I'm glad there's you're clearing this up. In magic mushrooms that seemingly helps. I want to read this to you, is what a veteran friend of ours, we've got a friend who's just been through the same thing. So I was talking to him about what I might have to go through. And this is... I'm thinking that I could make a documentary about this because I don't think anyone knows about this. There's a few treatments that I'm doing. One is TRT and the one I've been recommended for. I was meant to go in October and they cancelled it because of COVID and they've moved it back to February. So I'll be going in February. So this is the experience that the guy had on it. And he said, I literally closed my eyes, had an out-of-body experience, watching my mate check me out as and I was gone. I dissolved into thousands of tiny little balls and my soul went up to the universe where I met an octopus. Who showed me what love was, showed me all my lives, and then some mad floating triangles in a fish's mouth. When I came to, I was hugging myself and I felt like I had this big beam of light coming out of my chest, and I've never been depressed since. It sounds mental to start with, but it sounds like a really sort of like meaningful sort of experience. And I don't know if it's the same for everyone. I don't know if I'm going to talk to an octopus or if it'll be elves for me.
Yes, you never know.
I'm open to trying to see if I can sort myself out. And what everyone's kind of referencing yesterday is like I just had to fucking go to bed all day yesterday. I just couldn't face being up. Okay. So I just went back to bed a few times during the day to see if it'd sort it. Woke up in a good mood all right this morning. So I didn't do a review last night because I just went to bed. But I'm thinking... I might make a bit of a mini doc over the next 6 months. I'm having therapy. I'm doing some different treatments. That's one of them. And I think putting it out there, especially for other veterans, because one of the things that sort of uncovered talking to my therapist is veterans do not seek help. We all think we're invincible. We're all told we're invincible.
Yeah.
And that's just the idea. We don't go to the doctors. We don't go to the hospital. And there's just like a bit of a macho thing about not wanting to talk about those things. So putting it out there that it is actually a fucking good idea to do.
Yeah.
And maybe talking through some of the other stuff. Cause I had a lot of concussions and I've got a lot of other things to sort of like really throw in a mixer as well, which don't help matters.
Yeah.
And I just think if we did a documentary sort of detailing that, I mean, I'm £30 down at the moment. Right. We've not a hell of a massive shift in change. I think I've just got my hormones right.
Yeah.
So I think there's something to look into and talk about it, but it ain't, not every day is fucking sunshine still.
Yeah.
There's still rough days. And like I said, I'm thinking about making some content about it because I think it might help some of us talk about it. It seems to have a positive effect when I do mention it. There's a lot of people say, thank you for mentioning it. So, you know, if it does help other people, then it also gives me a bit of accountability as well, not to just shut off as well, which is probably a good thing.
No, I admire you, mate. I really do. And I think it is important to talk about, you know, I know it's different, I'm not comparing the two, but I talk about, you know, my sobriety a lot and I get a lot of inboxes on different social media saying, glad you're doing something I'm trying to do and I'm a week clean or a day clean or a year clean or whatever. So, you know, and well done for speaking up about it and the response in the comments as well. Appreciate the amount of love you're getting. Loads of people have been commenting saying, you know, well done, Steve. Big up, Steve. Says love.
I don't know how you do the sobriety things. And I mean, I take the piss out of you almost relentlessly with it. But
in a nice way, though, you know what I mean? Like, let's not, it's not like,
it's not supportive. I don't get him in headlocks and try and be like, go on, have a shot, Jay.
Yeah, come on.
Just get a out, shot, what's wrong with you?
Come on.
But, you know, I definitely couldn't fucking do what you've done.
Yeah, but Steve, you know, I look about this turning all but you, but I couldn't do certain things either that you've done. It's each to their own. And I think, let's face facts, for 30 odd years, I, you know, did tear the arsehole out of it, shall we say, for want of a better expression. And there comes a time when you know, get certain choices in life. And I was lucky enough to have a lot of good support around me and speaking up, and I got a lot of help. And Mike Hill says, mental health is a serious thing. Yep, it is. And I admire anyone who does speak up about it. Don't you, Abdullah?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I like the way you had to be prompted there. A bit rude.
No. It's just, I was letting you guys.
I didn't mention this as well because someone mentioned this to us. Like, after I mentioned that this morning, I said, yeah, we're getting absolutely smashed tomorrow on the rundown. A lot of veterans do sort of have substance problems and alcohol problems. Alcohol problems especially because it's a real cultural thing in the military is getting smashed at every opportunity.
I can imagine.
I mean, like, it was almost the rules to do commanding officers PT on Friday hungover. Right. And that was almost the challenge to how drunk you could be and still complete it. So there is a real, real drinking culture and a real drinking problem. I mean, I like a drink, but I can keep it under wraps. Like, I probably haven't really drank for a good month or so. Like, I don't have an issue with substances or with alcohol. Like, I have a fine relationship with it. I mean, I do drink, obviously. I have a bar upstairs. Like,
well, that's what I mean. Oh, you have a bar upstairs. And it's like, most of those bottles are still there. Whereas like, with me, it'd be like, that's a weekend. They're all gone. I've rang the dealer. My life's back in the doghouse, whatever. So yeah, it's different. People have different things they're going through. And you know, it's important to talk about
even
it.
The fact that you're fine with all that being up there where you work.
Yeah.
Is, you know, because that could have gone west.
Could have. No, my missus said to me, like, you know, a few years in, she's like, I said, how come you don't drink cider anymore? She used to have like a lady cider, like a flavoured one. And then he said, I don't like drinking in front of you. And I was like, you can drink in front of me because it doesn't bother me. But there was a time when years ago when Natalie just set me off. But now it's all right. I'm used to it with you lot anyway. Yes, Ross Murphy says, rum down back.
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to get fucked up.
Don't worry, I won't be there. But yeah, Steve and his gang will be. Stuart Browning, welcome to the Academy. Thanks for joining. Don't forget as well, if you do join the Academy, you've got a chance of winning the 12 Days Paddock. Do that documentary, Steve. Do it. Me and you have been speaking about content and stuff we want to do and stuff we plan on doing, and I think that'd be a great...
I've written the episodes in my head a little bit, and I was thinking, like, if one of them is Steve goes and trips balls for 2 weeks, that one episode, in terms of the views, it'll be like...
That's a fair point.
Because I want to see that.
I want to see that. 100%. 12 Days of Paddock, sorry, I mentioned that. If you do join the membership, you do get the chance to win a PlayStation 5, a tour of Old Trafford, other good stuff as well. Abdullah, are you still doing your PR football?
On a bit of a break, unfortunately. I've been a bit busy.
It's happened.
Balled it. To be fair, it's just me and my mates doing it. So obviously everyone's busy, uni, work, life. So over the turn of the year, just looking to switch things up in the studio because it's nice to just have a space that I can just... sort of do what I want with it.
When you're back with us, are you back with us soon after the, which game are you back with us after?
Last game of the Champions League.
Young Boys, are you back after that?
Young Boys, yeah.
Doing a bit of an analysis. Stephen, what have you got coming out over the next hour or so, seeing as you've about 50 videos a day on someone's channel? Come on, don't tell me you've not got a video out tonight. I'll be disappointed.
I think it's already been out, I think.
All right, okay.
From the game yesterday.
Good lad.
I've had a bit of look at what Ralphie Boy's got to do.
I love that nickname, Ralphie Boy.
Ralphie Boy.
Ralphie Boy. Someone put it in the chat the other day, and I'm like, yeah, I like that.
Tomorrow, preview for the Palace game. They do bits, you know, Palace under Vieira. You got to give them a bit of
credit. No, we were saying that on the preview. You can't discount them at all. Ryan
they're
asks
not the easy game they used to be.
No, it's not, is it? Mind you, saying that, Hodgson had a couple of results, didn't he, against us at Old Trafford. Ryan asks, I'm 3 years sober. Well done. My missus still doesn't want to drink in front of me either. I get it. Fair enough.
I really think that's a mad bridge to cross, that, because I can really see with some people, from what I've seen with substances, like, you know, it's like people who've given up smoking. They go to a smoking area and they're fucking like at it with both hands.
Like
I said, credit.
It just does it. I think everyone's times differently. You know what I mean? I tried to do it when I was in my 20s and 30s. Well, earlier 30s. Didn't work then. 33, 34.
How long have you been sober?
7 years, bro.
That's long enough that now, if you do it, you wanted to do it, innit? Crumble.
It's not for me.
Didn't you say he was getting off it if he won the treble?
No, you said I was getting off it when the trouble. And I had a word with Ollie and he said, don't worry, Jay.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about that, son. You won't be getting leathered this season. Make sure you check out Steve on his channel. Make sure you check out him on socials. What are your socials? You're not doing PR ball.
Abdul_GH on Twitter.
There you go. Find him on Twitter. You know where to find me. Yeah. Make sure you check out the 12 Days of Paddock as well, the membership. Also, subscribe to the channel. We're over 620,000.
The fuck are you doing, Jay?
What have I missed?
Because this dick came. We've not even spoke about a Brian Robson documentary.
Oh, what? No, but we can't.
Why is that my fault?
Because we have to blame someone.
Fuck you, that's why.
And, you know, you're the obvious target.
To be fair, I don't speak about old stuff anymore.
We need to give that. First of all, I need to watch it.
You not watched it?
No, I've not had any time. I've been doing uni stuff.
Well, you lot didn't get invited to that.
No, we didn't. And no. We're not bitter.
Actually, I think, right, can we just say, that is the most outrageous thing that's ever happened, ever.
Because you're always at them weird, like, old United.
Right, for starters, we get invited to everything all the time. Most things we don't even want to go to, we get invited anyway. Secondly, We talk about Brian Robson and the greatest achievement in the history of association football every single week on this podcast.
I guarantee no one else name checks Brian Robson as much as we do.
Told you like it was a waste of time.
Thirdly, right, when I was lucky enough to interview Sir Alex Ferguson, what did I ask him about? No, Cupman's Cup final. Exactly. So what do you think we would have asked Brian Robson about? Cupman's Cup final.
You would have thought.
And they didn't even invite us. But we're not giving up hope. Steve, text him again. Right.
Should you put oi?
Put oi, yeah, they'll respect that. Because Steve's got a direct line to him, actually.
No, just delivered.
While we're talking, Tab McSoapish, welcome to the first team. Thanks for your support. Right, we will try and get hold of Brian Robson. We're going to do it next week. Let's do a special, right? A Brian Robson special next week. Should we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That lady's read my text messages saying, thank God you messaged. How are you? Agatha, I guess.
Yeah.
Not replied, though.
Nothing worse is there, eh? Typical. Typical.
We could have had some fun with that, but no. Bollocks.
No, yeah, that's spoiled it. You've got actually an interesting story, haven't you, about... No, he doesn't.
Oh,
right, okay, sorry. we're going to leave it there.
I actually do have an interesting WhatsApp story, but I'm not going to mention
it. Oh, well, that's mature.
Because you're not going to enjoy it.
Right, all right. Well, that in itself is a great one.
Thank you very much.
That's been Abdullah, you know where to find him. That's been Steve Allison, Abby J. This has been The Brew. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.